Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic, on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to be talking about the following hot, or better yet, maybe topic of confusion. We're going to be talking about what theologians generally refer to as the means of grace. What exactly does that mean? Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, has given to his church various means of grace to help us as believers to grow up in our knowledge, in our understanding of our Lord, and to grow in grace and sanctification, the means of grace. And if you're taking note, theologians usually talk about seven means of grace. Number one, the Word, studying the Word. Number two, worship. Number three, prayer. Numbers four and five, celebrating the sacraments, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. Number six is fellowship, and number seven, ready? Church discipline as a means of grace. Why? Because church discipline is meant to protect the unity, the purity, and the sound doctrine of the church. And so these seven means of grace have been given by the Lord of the church to benefit and help grow we, the church, the redeemed, the body of Christ. The seven means of grace. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. We see that Scripture declares, starting in verse 2, Peter, and under the power of the Spirit, is writing to believers, and he says to them, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." Again, the Lord of the church has given to us everything we need to be able to grow in our knowledge and understanding of the Lord, to grow in becoming more and more in the image and likeness of our Lord. And it starts with knowledge. Again, the study of the Word. So as the body gathers together, and together we are reading the Word, we're praying the Word, we're singing the Word, we're studying the Word, we're celebrating the sacraments according to the Word, we are administering church discipline according to the Word, as we are fellowshipping with the people of the Lord according to the Word of the Lord, Scripture declares that God's divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. And then look what Peter says to believers. Verse 4. "For by these, God has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them, you, Christian, may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. For this very reason, Christian, applying all diligence in your faith, in your saving faith, take advantage of the means of grace that the Lord has provided His church. Apply all diligence in your faith and supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, in your knowledge self-control, in your self-control perseverance, in your perseverance godliness, in your godliness brotherly kindness, in your brotherly kindness love. Do you see that God has provided for us, His church, the various means of grace to grow, to add to our saving faith, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love through the means of grace. Verse 8, for if these qualities, Christian, are yours and are increasing as you take advantage of the means of grace, for these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see it? Now, please understand, we do not want to confuse the means of grace, the seven means of grace, with what the Catholic Church calls the seven means of salvation. The Catholic Church talks about, number one, as a means of salvation, baptism. Number two, as a means of salvation, celebrating the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper. Confirmation, confession, marriage. If you're a priest, ordination. When you die, last rites. The Catholic Church has what's called the seven means of salvation, where basically, as a Catholic, you are contributing to what you hope will be one day your justification. And the Catholic Church teaches that you contribute to hopefully being justified one day by following the seven means of salvation. So, in effect, sanctification actually precedes justification, right? And again, if they don't do a great job following those seven means, then there's a place they call purgatory where hopefully that your loved ones can pray and pay to get you out. The seven means of grace that the Lord of the Church has provided are not to be confused with the seven means of salvation that the Catholic Church talks about. No, the seven means of grace are for those who have already been justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And the Lord of the Church has provided for His church seven means of grace to grow in that process of sanctification. So, Catholic Church, sanctification precedes justification. According to the Bible, justification precedes sanctification, right? So again, the seven means of grace, studying of the Word, worship of the Lord, prayer, baptism, Lord's Supper, fellowship, church discipline, these are things that we as born-again believers get to enjoy, get to engage in. Not just on the Lord's Day, but throughout the week with the body of Christ, so that we can grow in our grace and knowledge of the Lord, right? Again, staying here in Peter, what we just read, he says that, verse 5, apply all diligence in your faith. He's talking to people who are already believers. So he's not saying use the means of grace to become saved. No, these are people who have already been saved. Okay? So do not confuse the means of grace with the means of salvation. All right? So, the church, the Lord of the church, has given to His church blessings that we get to enjoy. We, the redeemed, when we gather together on the Lord's Day, when we are together in various Bible study groups throughout the week, we get to enjoy and apply with all diligence to be engaged in these means of grace. In this process of sanctification, where we are becoming more and more Christ-like, right? We have a role in our sanctification. When it came to our justification, we contributed nothing. Salvation is monergistic. It is all and only the sovereign work of God. We don't contribute to our salvation. But once we're saved, we are now in this process of sanctification, becoming more and more Christ-like, looking forward to that day when we enter into glory. Well, the Lord of the church, as I've been saying, has given to his church these various means of grace so that we can enjoy them, engage in them, be blessed by them, bring glory to our Lord through them, be a blessing to the body, and become more and more Christ-like, right? That's why in Hebrews chapter 10, it is so important, Christian, that you take advantage of these means of grace. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, we are told to, and by the way, notice how many times he says, let us, right? Let us. Christianity is not a individual in terms of activity. We are to be involved with the body of Christ. Yes, you are saved individually by the Lord, but you are placed into his body. Where, verse 23, we are told, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he, God, who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another, notice one another, to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you see it? We need each other. The people of the Lord need to be engaged in one anothering with each other. Let us encourage each other. Let us strengthen each other. Let us take advantage of the means of grace as we together study the Word, worship our Lord, pray to our Lord, celebrate the sacraments, baptism, Lord's Supper, as we fellowship with each other and as we submit to the spiritual leaders of the church, even if it means church discipline. Because the goal of the means of grace is to help us become more and more Christ-like. And we, as the body, need to make sure that we do not forsake are assembling together. When does that happen? The Lord's Day. Now again, it should also be happening throughout the week with each other. Again, whether it's in Bible study groups, prayer groups, fellowship groups, serving, you know, out in the community or whatever it may be. We need to, look, we are the only ones, well, the words of Jesus. Go to John chapter 15. Look what Jesus says. Verse 17, Jesus said, this I command you. He was talking to his disciples, the 11. He had already dismissed Judas. This I command you, that you love one another. Why? Verse 18, if the world hates you, which it will, because we are not part of the world. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it's hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you, Jesus said, out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. As Christians, we don't want to make our home in the world. We don't want to make use of the various means of worldly things. Rather, we want to make use of the means of grace. Right? We need each other. That's why Jesus said, this is what I command you, that you love one another. Because the world is going to hate you. And for a Christian who has been saved by our Lord out of the world to creep back into the world, especially by himself or by herself, taking advantage, or better yet, falling into the trap of the various means of worldliness and ungodliness. For a born-again believer to do that, it makes no sense, especially when you realize what you have in the church. And as we are engaged together, the Holy Spirit pours out grace. He pours out comfort. He pours out conviction, correction. He helps, he heals, he blesses. As we're engaged in the means of grace, again, not to be confused with the means of salvation. We're talking about people who are already saved. And when we do this together, man, what a blessing, right? So that when we go out into the world, which unfortunately we have to, work, family, activity, whatever it may be, well, we can properly represent our Redeemer. Stay in John, go to John 13. This is what Jesus said to the 11. Verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you. He keeps repeating this to them, that you love one another. Well, our love, as Peter had said in 2 Peter, grows as we take advantage of the means of grace. And we add to our saving faith, moral excellence, and knowledge, and self-control, and love for God, obviously, and for one another. Jesus said, this is a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, our love for each other, as we are taking advantage of the means of grace, and we're putting on that full armor of God, and we're strengthened in the word, in worship, in prayer, in the celebration of the sacraments, in fellowship, and yes, even in church discipline, then we go out into the world which hates us, and we're able to represent our Redeemer and not compromise to the world. And we're told, by doing this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Christian, we are so blessed. We've been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We have been justified. We are looking forward to our guaranteed glorification. And during this process of sanctification, our Lord has given to his people various means of grace so that we can be strengthened and blessed. And be a blessing to each other. And properly represent our Redeemer to a dark and dying world, right? As I said earlier, Scripture knows nothing about a Christian being off on his or her own. In fact, Scripture warns us. Go to Proverbs chapter 18. Very interesting verse, verse 1. He who separates himself seeks his own desire. Do you see it? When we're engaged in the means of grace as the people of God, with the goal of bringing glory to God, we're not separated. And we're not seeking our own desire. But boy, when somebody starts to separate himself, you start to go, why are they running from the light? Why are they creeping into the darkness? He who separates himself seeks his own desire. Christian, our life is not our own. We were bought with a price. We live for the Lord. We die for the Lord. Our entire goal is to bring glory to Him, to represent Him, to live for Him, to honor Him, to please Him, to praise Him. Not to separate ourselves, to fill our own desires. We have the various means of grace that we need to take advantage of, right? Chapter 19 of Proverbs. People who like to separate themselves, fulfill their own desire. Warning, verse 27, you cease listening, my son? We're told, if you cease listening to discipline, you will stray from the words of knowledge. Can anybody currently relate? Doesn't have to be that way, Christian. Get back to the light. You've been creeping around in the darkness too long. You've separated yourself too long. And if you think popping on Zoom and doing church every Sunday on your computer or your phone is taking advantage of the means of grace? No. Again, Zoom has served its purpose, obviously with the pandemic and so forth, but nevertheless, you need to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to be engaged in one anothering. You need to be part of a local body where you're able to take advantage of the various means of grace, right? Because Psalm 133, look what Scripture says. I love this psalm. Behold, verse 1, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Look at the blessing. It is like the precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, coming down upon the edge of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, coming down upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. Do you see the refreshment? Do you see the rejuvenation? Do you see the restoration? Do you see the peace, the joy, the blessings, the unity? How beautiful it is. Not when brothers separate themselves from the body, but rather when they dwell together in unity and the blessings start to flow as we are engaged actively and diligently in the various means of grace. Do you see it? Go to Psalm 84 as I bring this to a close. Same idea. How beautiful it is for us to be able to be part of the local body. Psalm 84, verses 1 and 2. Look how the people of God in the Old Testament just so longed to be at the temple, to worship God. How lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Hop down to verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Christian, if you've been separated, get back to your family. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Well, how do we do that? By taking advantage of the means of grace, O Lord of hosts. How how blessed is the man and woman who trusts in you. Isn't that great? So, dear listener, think about it. How diligent have you been as of late when it comes to taking advantage of the various means of grace that the Lord of the church has provided for his church? Have you been excited to go to the Lord's house on the Lord's day and to celebrate your Lord with the Lord's people, studying the Word together, worshiping your Lord together, praying to the Lord together, celebrating the sacraments together, fellowshipping together, and yes, submitting to, joyfully submitting to, spiritual leaders of the church who care for your souls, even if it means church discipline? Have you been eagerly dwelling with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Have you been longing throughout the week to get to the Lord's house on the Lord's day? Or have you been finding yourself leaving the light and slowly creeping into the darkness? The Lord is gracious. The Lord is merciful. But the Lord will not allow his people, his redeemed, to play around in the darkness for long. Christian, take advantage of the means of grace. If you've been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, you've been justified. You're looking forward to glorification. You're now in the process of sanctification. Take advantage of that which the Lord has graciously provided for you, for me. Let us take advantage of the means of grace. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.